I remember going to Rosetto for the first time, and you'd see three generational family meals. All the bakeries, the people walking up and down the street, sitting on their porches talking to each other. The blouse mills where the women worked during the day, while the men worked in the slate quarries, Brun said. It was magical. When Brun and Wolf first presented their findings to the medical community, you can imagine the kind of skepticism they faced. They went to conferences where their peers were presenting long rows of data arrayed in complex charts and referring to this kind of gene or that kind of physiological process. And they talked instead about the mysterious and magical benefits of people stopping to talk to one another on the street and having three generations living under one roof. Living a long life, the conventional wisdom said at the time, depended to a great extent on who we were, that is, our genes. It depended on the decisions people made, on what they chose to eat and how much they chose to exercise, and how effectively they were treated by the medical system. No one was used to thinking about health in terms of community. Wolf and Brun had to convince the medical establishment to think about health and heart attacks in an entirely new way. They had to get them to realize that you couldn't understand why someone was healthy if all you did was think about an individual's choices or actions in isolation. You had to look beyond the individual. You had to understand the culture they were a part of and who their friends and families were and what town their families came from. You had to appreciate the idea that the values of the world we inhabit and the people we surround ourselves with has a profound effect on who we are. In Outliers, I want to do for our understanding of success what Stuart Wolf did for our understanding of health. Part 1, Opportunity. Chapter 1, The Matthew Effect. You don't even have to do any statistical analysis. You just look at it. One warm spring day in May of 2007, the Medicine Hat Tigers and the Vancouver Giants met for the Memorial Cup Hockey Championships in Vancouver, British Columbia. The Tigers and the Giants were the two finest teams in the Canadian Hockey League, which in turn is the finest junior hockey league in the world. These were the future stars of the sport. 17, 18, and 19-year-olds who had been skating and shooting pucks since they were barely more than toddlers. The game was broadcast on Canadian national television. Up and down the streets of downtown Vancouver, Memorial Cup banners hung from the lampposts. The arena was sold out. A long red carpet was rolled out on the ice, and the announcer introduced the game's dignitaries. First came the Premier of British Columbia, Gordon Campbell. Then, amid tumultuous applause, out walked Gordie Howe, one of the legends of the game. "Ladies and gentlemen," the announcer boomed, "Mr. Hockey." For the next 60 minutes, the two teams played spirited, aggressive hockey. Vancouver scored first early in the second period on a rebound by Mario Bliznak. Late in the second period, it was Medicine Hat's turn, as the team's scoring leader, Darren Helm, fired a quick shot past Vancouver's goalie, Tyson Sexsmith. Vancouver answered in the third quarter, scoring the game's deciding goal, and then, when Medicine Hat pulled its goalie in desperation, Vancouver scored a third time. In the aftermath of the game, the players and their families and sports reporters from across the country crammed into the winning team's locker room.